Okay, so
are you recording?
Basically, yesterday we were studying steps towards the Father in the sanctuary, and we are seeing how the angels help to draw us toward the Father. Why steps towards the Father? Because the Father is holy, and He has given His only begotten Son, and His only begotten Son has stepped down from the throne of glory and come and taken fallen human nature, so that it could be able to draw us to where the Father is, so that it becomes the only way. But then we've been able to see in our very first presentation that angels have been used by Jesus Christ and His Father to be able to help us or to come to make the plan of redemption complete. What I would say is everything in the sanctuary is important. And so I believe that the ministration of angels, as is shown in the sanctuary, is very important. Now, many Seventh-day Adventists who have not studied as much about angels, they don't understand, and they may rise against the teachings on angels. That is simply because they haven't seen the angels in the plan of salvation. When you enter into the sanctuary, you find a perfect harmony of truth. And so, one of the things that make the sanctuary complete is the ministration of angels. And you'll see that of a truth, apart from the candlestick, it's only the two angels that actually are beaten of gold in the most holy place. All the other vessels are either covered of gold, or they are brazen, or they are simply certain fabrics of different colors. That shows us that the angels have a special work in the plan of redemption. And because you know that that gold represents the aspect of Christ's character, it also represents the aspect of Christ's divinity. But what we understand is those who have been tried of fire, those who have been tried by Jesus Christ, have emerged as gold that has been tried in fire, refined pure gold. And so they are able to shine in the sanctuary. So you want to look a little bit at that, because what you understand is what we looked at yesterday is basically on the veil. We studied the veil. You were able to see veils, the veil and the parchment, the cherubim parchments upon the veil. But now, what happens when you move into the holy, and then when you move into the most holy? There are various demonstrations that God has used to show us the ministration of angels. And that's what I want to do. I want us to go through that and see just exactly what it is that the Bible says concerning the holy and the most holy, and what we are called to do now and to understand in regard to the ministration of angels. So I'll share my screen so that we're able to see together what is there. So I'll just send the angels in the sanctuary, and this is the second part of this presentation. Okay, I'll read for you a couple of quotes to try to rivet what we studied yesterday, give it a little bit of more power. Because yesterday we were saying, we were talking about the sinner going to the outer court and seeing upon the veil Jesus Christ, His body being represented by the veil and the angels upon it. Now, the Bible says the anointed ones standing by the Lord of the whole earth. Did we read yesterday that Aaron was anointed and the sons of Aaron were anointed, and the oil which was used to anoint them was able to flow to their garments? Now, when you look at the way angels are actually shown, they are also shown as the anointed one standing by the Lord of the whole earth. Angels are also anointed. How are they anointed? They're anointed with the Holy Spirit. They're anointed with the oil of grace. And this is something that we need to understand. Jesus Christ was anointed. How was He anointed? With the Holy Spirit, which is the very power, the very life, the very mind of the Father. And that's how He was anointed. Okay, how are angels anointed? They are anointed by the same Spirit which the Son receives without measure from the Son, from the Father. So they are called the anointed ones, standing by the Lord of the whole earth. Have the position once given to Satan as a covering cherub. By this holy being surrounding his throne, angels, they surround the throne of God. The Lord keeps a constant communication with the inhabitants of the earth. And so when you actually study the sanctuary, because the throne of God is in the sanctuary, you see angels, and angels are the ones that actually make a complete link or connection between the Father and the fallen human beings. Realize you're not saying that the angels take the part of Jesus Christ. We have only one mediator, and that is Jesus Christ, but he has chosen, just like you're able to see in the illustration given to us, and that was the illustration given to us by Jesus Christ in the story of the centurion. And we understood that in the story of the centurion was a man under authority, reason being there was someone above him. And then there was him who was under the authority of who? Authority of the guy who was above him. And then he had his soldiers. So the soldiers were moving at the command of the centurion. Angels, they move at the command of Jesus Christ. Okay, so the golden oil represents the grace. And we know grace is the Holy Spirit, according to Steps of Christ, page 51, 52, and 53, with which God keeps the lamps of the believer's supply, that they shall not flicker or go out. Why not for it not that this holy oil is poured out from heaven? How are they poured out? In the messages of God's Spirit. So in the Word of God, is the Spirit which is imparted to us, because the words which I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are truth. And the Bible also says, let my word dwell in you richly. Colossians 3 verse 16. Okay, so if you're able to look here, it says, the angels of God are ascending, bearing the prayers of the needy and the distressed to the Father. Stop. Let's go to the sanctuary, because we are studying the sanctuary. And we're just seeing messages that we've studied. And I know that all of you people have studied quite a bit on this. But the question is, can we also see it in the sanctuary? Because the sanctuary is the grand message that was given to Seventh-day Adventist. So what happens is, the angels of God are ascending and bearing the prayers of the needy. Now, when we look at the sanctuary, in the holy place, we have praying saints, their prayers are represented by incense that is being burned in the holy. That incense which is being burned in the holy represents the prayers of the saints. But now the question is, who bears those prayers? We'll see a little bit when we go to the book of Revelation, that actually it's the angels who bear those prayers. And how do we also understand that in the sanctuary? It's because on the veils of the sanctuary, we are seeing angels. So what happens is, angels, they're able to listen to our prayers according to early writings, because it says that during that sealing time, that actually those praying, agonizing saints will have a double ministration of angels. God will double his angels around them, while the careless and the listless, their angels will be lessened. So what happens is, those angels are there to hear the prayers and present them to the Father through the Son. It is the Son that accesses the Father. And how does he get those prayers there? He has his angels, and these angels are being used. They are able to bear the prayers of distress to the Father above, and descending, bringing blessings and hope, courage and health and life to the children of men. So we can be able to see the same language that Ellen White uses in the Desire of Ages, page 142, is the same language that is used in Genesis chapter 28. It's the same language that is also used in the sanctuary. It is a sanctuary language, and that's why it would be true to say the whole Bible is about the sanctuary. It talks about the sanctuary. All right, so look at the altar of incense. John saw a vision of heavenly beings having golden vials full of odors, which is an incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And he saw incense, but where do we find incense? We find it in the sanctuary. And he also saw an angel having a golden censer. Who was having a golden censer? An angel. And there was given to him much incense that he should offer it with the prayers of the saints upon the golden altar that was before the throne of God. So the angels that were offering those prayers, Jesus Christ is in the most holy place. And yet, angels are able to ascend and descend. They are bearing the prayers of the saints. They are taking them to Jesus Christ. And Christ, in response, actually responds by actually bringing them courage and hope through the angels. That is what is shown in the sanctuary. And that is why those angels are upon the veil of the sanctuary. They are piped upon the veil in the sanctuary. Okay, let's continue reading down. All the miracles of Christ were afflicted and the suffering were wrought by the power of God through the ministration of angels. And it is through Christ, by the ministration of heavenly messengers, that every blessing comes from God to us. So those who enter into the sanctuary cannot receive the blessings of God if they neglect the ministration of angels. It is actually introducing, okay, like I've said before, if you introduce a false being called God, the Holy Spirit, then it's as putting an conductor in an electrical connecting line, a love wire, and you know that it will not be able to transmit current. Reason being, you have introduced an unconductor. It's not able to conduct electricity. And it's because in the sanctuary, you don't see any other being. We have been able to see the sons of the high priest. We have been able to see, we are seeing the high priest, the sons of the high priest. We have known that that high priest is Jesus Christ. And we have been able to see that the same way the priests were helping Aaron is the same way angels are helping Jesus Christ in the plan of redemption, both in the sanctuary above and also coming down here to help the weak, erring, mortal human beings like me and you. It's a glorious thing to think about. Okay, so look at this, because then I saw that Jesus Christ would not leave the most holy place until every case was decided either for salvation or destruction. And that's the close of probation. So Christ cannot leave the most holy place until the close of probation. But since he has his soldiers, he can be able to send his soldiers, and that's what you're seeing in the sanctuary. Okay, look at this now. That was early writings, page 36, paragraph 1. Okay, 1 Kings chapter 6, verse 27 says, "And he set the cherubims within the inner house, and they stretched forth the wings of the cherubims, so that the wings of the one touched the one wall. And the wing of the other cherub touched the other wall." So we are seeing the wings of the cherubims are touching from one wall all the way to the center of the Ark of the Covenant, and the other cherubim the same. Reason being that angelic ministration has been there from the very beginning of the plan of redemption. It covers from one wall of the sanctuary to the other wall of the sanctuary, except the Father is not covered because the Father is above all. And we need to understand that even when actually Adam and Eve sinned, God sent an angel to keep them from straying back and eating that forbidden fruit. And so angelic ministration did not start yesterday. Angelic ministration has been there from the very beginning of the plan of salvation. And so what we are seeing here is their wings are touching one wall of the sanctuary all the way to the mercy seat, and the other from the other wall, showing the span of the plan of salvation from one end to the other, that angels have been involved. Okay, so this says, in the earthly or the typical sanctuary, the symbol of God's presence was between two cherubims whose wings shadowed the mercy seat. Exodus 25, verse 22. So in the heavenly temple, God dwells between two covering cherubim. So when you go to the sanctuary, you are seeing angels. In the outer court, you are seeing angels on the veil. In the sanctuary, you will be able to see angels which are actually offering, or rather burning incense. In the most holy place, there are angels that actually put the Father in the middle, because the Father dwells between two cherubim. The Lord reigneth, let the people tremble. He seated between the cherubim, set the earth be moved. Give ear, O shepherd of Israel, thou that leadest Joseph like a flock. Thou that dwellest within the cherubim, shine forth, O Lord of hosts, God of Israel, that dwellest between the cherubims. Thou art God, even thou alone, for all the kingdoms of the earth, thou hast made the heavens and the earth. Psalms 99, verse 1. Psalms 80, verse 1. Isaiah 37, verse 16. All these verses are showing that God dwells between two cherubims in the sanctuary. This testimony shows that God's dwelling place is between the two cherubims. And who are these? The anointed ones. And we are also able to see that the priests were anointed. And not only the priests, the high priest was also anointed. So Aaron and his son, they were all anointed. And we are also able to see that in the sanctuary, Jesus Christ in heaven is anointed. Angels are also called the anointed heavenly messengers. It's important to see that. Okay, look at what Ezekiel gives. Ezekiel gives a lengthy description of the cherubims in chapter 1 and 10. And in conclusion says, this is the living creature that I saw under the God of Israel by the river of Kebar. And I knew that they were the cherubims. Ezekiel 10 verse 20. Zechariah refers to the same when he says, these are the two anointed ones. Mark that again. Anointed ones that stand by the Lord of the whole earth. Chapter 4, verse 14 of Ezekiel. So they are actually referred to as the anointed. Okay, let's look at what is written in Exodus chapter 25, verse 18 to 22. And thou shalt make two cherubims of what? Of gold. Make two cherubims of gold. This is pure gold. Of beaten wax. Why beaten wax? Because angels have been tried. They have gone through a trial. Everything in the sanctuary has been tried. Every vessel is anointed. Every person that enters the sanctuary must be anointed with the Holy Spirit of the Father through the Son. And so angels have been anointed. And at the same time, angels are beaten. Reason being, angels are tried and are tested and have been proved and have been found faithful from the delusions that Satan actually imposed. In the very beginning of things, we realized that Satan, iniquity was found in him, and he persuaded the other angels, but we know that only a third were deceived by him, and the rest, they marched victorious. So it says that they were gold beaten wax that shall thou make them in the two ends of the mercy seat. So the two ends of the mercy seat. But then he says, and make one cherub on the one end and the other cherub on the other end. Even of the mercy seat shall ye make the cherubims on the two ends thereof. And the cherubims shall stretch forth their wings on high, covering the mercy seat with their wings. And their faces shall look to another. Towards the mercy seat shall the faces of the cherubims be. So verse 21 says, and thou shalt put the mercy seat above the ark, above upon the ark, and in the ark thou shalt put the testimony that I shall give thee. And there I will meet with thee, and I will commune with thee from above the mercy seat, from between the cherubims, which are upon the ark of the testimony. Of all the things which I shall give thee, I will give thee in the commandments unto the children of Israel. Okay, let's see another thing that expresses angels in the sanctuary. And I'm sure you've read this before in the prophecies of Daniel. But now look at this. It's a little bit raining here, so I hope that you are able to hear me anyway. Just want to be sure that you guys are getting what I'm saying. Are you getting what I'm saying? Okay, thank you.
Yes.
Okay, so Daniel chapter 7 verse 9. The Bible says, I beheld till the thrones were cast down. And the Ancient of Days did sit. This is the investigative judgment. Are angels involved in the investigative judgment? Yes, angels are involved in the investigative judgment. See what the Bible says. The Bible says, whose garment was as white as snow, that's the Father, and the hair of his head like the pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels the burning fire. And a fiery stream was issued and came forth from before him. Thousands and thousands ministered unto him. Who are these thousands and thousands of ministers of the Father? These are angels. they ministered to the Father in the sanctuary in the very onset of the investigative judgment, in the setting of the work of the start of the work of the investigative judgment, angels ministered to the Father. And 10,000 and 10,000 stood before him, and the judgment was said, and the books were opened. I saw in the night vision, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds, or what I would call angels of heaven, and came to the Ancient of Days. And what happened? And they brought him near before him. So we are seeing angels minister to the Father, angels minister to the Son. In the investigative judgment, they are angels. And you need to realize one thing, that in the investigative judgment, angels are very important because they are the ones who actually, with an erring pen, immortalize our acts in the books of heaven. And so angels are very important. Reason being, we know that only angels can read our thoughts. You can find that actually from the writings of Ellen White. Only angels actually know our deeds. We have guardian angels that are always with us, like Christ had guardian angels. And they are noticing what we are doing. They are taking every act without an error. And so in the judgment, angels are important. They are important because they have been with us from day unto day, monitoring what we are doing. They are needed in the judgment. I just wanted to have us know that. And that's why when you're looking at the investigative judgment, we are seeing the angels. Okay, so where is the investigative judgment taking place? In the sanctuary. So in the sanctuary, are we seeing angels ministering? Yes, they are ministering spirits sent forth to minister to those who shall be heirs of salvation. This is very clear in the sanctuary. All right, look at what happens here. Chapter 5, verse 11 of Revelation. What happens? And I beheld, and then I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and of the beasts and the elders. And the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands. Angels are also found in the sanctuary round about the throne of the Father. What are they doing? They are ministering to the Father, and the Father also sends them forth to minister to all who enter into the plan of salvation. Okay, they were saying in a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and such are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and forever. So only two beings are being worshipped, even by angels. So we don't want to worship any other being whom the angels are not worshipping, whom the Bible does not recognize as being worshipped. Angels worship the Father and the Son. And every redeemed will experience the fellowship of the Father and the Son together with angels. They will both rejoice in being with the Father and the Son forever and ever. Okay, so that's why Ellen White says we need to understand better than we do the work of this angel visitant. Then she says, who would think that heavenly angels are cooperating with us in our work? But so it is, and thus the earth is connected with heaven. It's through the angels that actually the Father connects the earth to heaven. And we can see that in the sanctuary, from the veil to the holy to the most holy. Okay, you must be wondering, because when you enter into the most holy place, there is a curtain and there are pillars. And on the curtain that divides the holy and the most holy, there is actually an embroidery of angels. Three angels are embroidered there. Reason being, it is through the three angels' messages that we enter into the most holy place. No one will have the most holy place experience who has not studied the three angels' messages. We have to study and understand and experience the three angels' messages. Ellen White says that the third angel led the Advent movement into the most holy place. It is through the messages of these three angels that actually we enter into the most holy place. And so we can also be able to see the golden oil in the sanctuary. And I'll just span through this very fast because I know we've studied this before, but we are just bringing this in the sanctuary to see it, because the sanctuary is, and we are told that in the spirit of prophecy, the sanctuary is the one of the foundational pillars of our faith. Upon the sanctuary, all the other doctrines are. And so when we are able to establish every doctrine from the sanctuary, every teaching from the sanctuary, every idea, thought, and opinion from the sanctuary, we know it is solid. It is solid. And so if we are able to see angels involved in the sanctuary from the outer court all the way to the most holy place, we can be sure that this is the truth and it's a sanctifying truth, because God does not put anything in the sanctuary that does not help us to be just like his son. Reason being, he says God is waiting with longing desires for the character of his son to be revealed in us. And when that is done in God's church, he will come for us. Angels and every other article in the sanctuary help us to understand how best we can be able to be just like Jesus Christ. So it is Christ, the light of the world. Oil had to be poured into the candlestick for the light. John saw seven lamps of fire burning before the throne of God, and he was told that there were seven spirits of God. Now, you could be able to think about that. They are before the throne, and where is the throne of God? The throne of God is in the sanctuary, and it has never been outside the sanctuary. God dwells in the sanctuary between the two cherubims, and before he went to the most holy place, he was in the holy, and he was sitting upon the table of shewbread, which is the word of God, which is the authority of his government, the foundation of his government. Okay, so we realize that we must have the oil if we have to be burning and shining light. And this oil is the Holy Spirit. So if we have to burn, if we have to be candlesticks in the sanctuary, we must have the oil. But how do we receive the oil is the question. So that as Christians, we realize how we can be able to receive that oil. Okay, look at what is said down here. Okay, each one, or rather, on each end of the mercy seat was the figure of an angel, representing the two anointed ones that stands in the presence of God. From what was shown to Zechariah, we learn that it is through these heavenly beings that the golden oil of the Holy Spirit is made to flow to us. And that's amazing, because almost every Seventh-day Adventist pioneer was agreeing that the oil is the Holy Spirit. They were agreeing that actually those golden angelic, or rather anointed beings that were standing there, they were represented angels. Zechariah was shown in a symbolic way or in a parable sort of way. And he was shown those two beings as two olive trees. But we know they are angels, and that the golden oil of God's Holy Spirit is made to flow from him, from the Father, to us. But how is the question? So God says of his angels that they are ministering spirits sent forth to minister to them who are heirs of salvation. And you can see Jacob in a dream saw angels coming and going between heaven and earth. The way to the throne of God is ever open, and these heavenly messengers are the channel through which God pours the golden oil of love and grace into his people. It is through this precious God has given to man, for he sent them the prophets, the things that they wrote to enlighten the world. So the Holy Word, which is as the golden pipes through which the oil, remember the oil is the Holy Spirit, was emptied, but from where? From these anointed ones into the candlesticks. So the angels are obedient to the word of God. From the very onset, they were to choose between the words of Satan and the words of God. They chose a plain thus says the Lord. They heard, they trusted God. And having trusted God and trusting his words, they hand down the words of God to us. When we accept him by faith, we receive the Holy Spirit, which is in the Word, unlocked to us when we accept the Word by faith and fails us. And so what happens is we are seeing that the Holy Word is as the golden pipes through which the oil of the Holy Spirit, which is the Holy Spirit, is emptied through the angels into the candlesticks. And we are to be the candlesticks because we are to be the light of the world. So when you enter into the sanctuary, you realize that for you to burn, you need angels to minister to you. And we need to pray the Father to send forth those ministering spirits to be able to help us and educate us to finish the work. So if we would have always a fresh supply of oil, if we would burn brightly for the glory of God and the good of others, we must study God's holy word, that through this channel, his own spirit may be poured into our hearts. But we realized yesterday that even William Miller, when he was studying the word of God, angels were by his side. Ellen White, when he was studying the word of God, and angels were by their side. Our pioneers, angels were by their side. John the Baptist, John the Revelator, angels. An angel was sent by the Father through the Son to be able to bring to him the words of the revelation. And we are seeing this in the sanctuary, and it's beautiful. Then we shall shine as the light of the world, holding the word of life. Okay, that's why we say that the words which I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Okay, let's continue reading just a little bit as we bring this to an end. It says, the oil with which the wise virgin filled their lamps represents the Holy Spirit. The angel that talked with me, right, Zechariah, came again and walked and waked me as a man that is wakened out of his sleep and said unto me, what seest thou? And I said, I have looked and behold a candlestick all of gold, with a bowl upon the top of it. Now, why is the candlestick all of gold? If we realize that we are to burn as the candlestick burns, and the candlestick is all of gold, the angels in the most holy place are all of gold. That would mean that we all have to perfect character if we'll have to stay with God, just as angels who are loyal and faithful add to perfect their character by being obedient to the word of God. That's why they are called holy angels. And that's why they are represented by pure beaten gold in the most holy place of the heavenly sanctuary. That is why they are anointed. That is why they fill the earth with their glory. And when we, as Seventh-day Adventists, come to a point where we actually remove every defect of character, right every wrong, then we will shine forth and fill the earth with the glory of the Father through beings that have surrendered their lives to him. And you realize that this is what God is seeking, and this is what God is desiring that we understand through the sanctuary message, how to become like Jesus Christ. How to become golden candlestick. That's why now when we enter the sanctuary, we don't see brass and something, we see gold. And it's because now we begin to reflect the perfect image of Jesus Christ. Okay, so that's the vision of Isaiah, and I don't want to read it all, but by the holy being surrounding his throne, the Lord keeps up a constant communication with the inhabitants of the earth. And so we can be able to see in a summary of what is going on in the sanctuary. And let me be able to put this. When the sinner comes from the camp filled with guilt, sorry for his sins, burdened with his sins, he needs someone to come to his help. And who is that? The priests and the high priest. They are all there cooperating in the work so that when the sinner has slain the lamb, they take the blood and sprinkle the blood upon the veil so that the sins of the sinner are covered. The sinner cannot go beyond the altar of burnt offering. He follows the work of the priests and the high priest by faith. We all right now know that we are down here on this planet earth. The Father is in heaven as always. The Son is there doing the work of interceding with us before the Father, for us before the Father. Yet you have angels that are continually coming to and fro from heaven. They are also offering prayers. They are also bearing our prayers to the Son. These angels are also helping us to overcome sin. Just the same way, we realize that the priests and the high priest all came and met the sinner at the altar of the burnt offering. Okay, we also realize the priests were anointed. The high priest was anointed. Jesus Christ was anointed. Angels are anointed. And if we are faithful, we'll receive the anointing of the Holy Spirit in the outpouring of the latter rain. Okay, so angels, we realize that they are looking to the veil, which is the blood and the body of Jesus Christ, to guard them from apostasy. And we realized that we too, together with the unfallen ones, also look to the sacrifice of Jesus Christ upon the cross to guard us from erring, from apostasy, from backsliding, so that we can be faithful unto death, and so that we can be able to live with God forever. We realize that those who enter into the sanctuary are weighed in or aged in by angels, because angels are upon the walls of the sanctuary. And we realize that their prayers are listened to by those angels. And those angels also burn incense, which represents the prayers of the saints being presented to Jesus Christ, to the Father. We are also seeing that in the investigative judgment, angels are there to minister to the Father and to minister also to the Son and to minister to us. How do angels help us during the investigative judgment? The angels are going there to represent us, because they have been down here taking records of every act, every thought, every word. And so they are faithful witnesses. And so in the day of judgment, we need someone to witness, to prove, to rubber stamp that whatsoever things are in those books were true, and that there is no lie with God. Angels are involved in the most holy place and in the investigative judgment. It's also important to notice that angels are involved, being the anointed ones in the most holy place. They receive the anointing of the Holy Spirit from the Father through the Son, and they want to share it forth to every being on earth that surrenders their lives to Jesus Christ. Me, this day, as Zadok, I desire that I may receive of the same anointing. And in order to receive of the same anointing, I must be in the right place. I must enter into the plan of salvation. I must enter into the sanctuary. Only that which is in the sanctuary, only those who are involved in the sanctuary receive the anointing. I want to enter into the plan of redemption, into the plan of salvation, into the sanctuary. And those who are in the sanctuary, they also receive the ministration of angels, by angels actually pouring upon them the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God, because angels are holy beings. And so the Spirit they shed forth is the Holy Spirit, that is to live out the fallen angels. I think that's what I wanted to share with us concerning angels in the sanctuary. And I hope that the Lord of heaven will continue to bless us as we study the sanctuary more, and as we try to understand deep what the sanctuary entails. I know we are continuing those studies down here in Kenya. We are still studying some of the aspects in the holy place of the sanctuary, and soon we'll be moving into the most holy place. And so it's just my prayer that we study together the sanctuary and see how beautiful the messages that we have held together as those who believe in the pioneer historic Seventh-day Adventist biblical truth have been given as a banner, a chart, a compass to be able to guide us, and as a test to prove the truth in every single doctrine or teaching that we all do.